If you have a copy of God's Word, we invite you to take it and turn to Psalm 95 this evening. Psalm 95. We're going to take time to read the psalm. It's not too lengthy in length. The psalm is Psalm number 95. The psalmist says, "O come, let us sing on to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart. They have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest." Amen. We end at the end of the chapter. Let's just briefly pray before we bring God's word. Our loving Father, we are aware that time is fast running out. We're aware that there's coming a day when the angel will stand and declare time to be no more. We pray, O God, that the solemnity of that thought, that we're not here forever, that Christ's coming will draw to an end time and usher in eternity. We pray that such thoughts would solemnize the heart, in the mind of the unconverted that are gathered with us tonight. We pray, O God, that thou wilt take thy word and drive it home with power to the soul, to the conscience of men and women, young people, boys and girls, and that tonight they would heed the warning voice. Make the Lord their final choice, that all heaven will rejoice. We cry to thee that they'll be in time. Pray that thou wilt fill this preacher with power. The Holy Ghost, thou dost know our weakness, the frailty of the flesh. God, come and empower us again. May we know a double portion, the anointing of thy Spirit. Grant, O God, a highway to be made for the preaching of thy word. Answer prayer. Come and meet with us even around the word. We pray this in Jesus' precious and wondrous name. Amen and amen. The frequent hearing of the gospel message has one of two effects upon the hearts and the minds of men and women. For some, the hearing of the glad tidings of the gospel softens individuals' hearts as God, by his Spirit, begins to handle individuals, eventually bringing the hearer to a point of yielding to the claims of the gospel and an acceptance of Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Lord. For others, the repeated hearing of the gospel causes their hearts to become hardened. So that instead of yielding to the gospel, the hearer now resists the message until God's Spirit ceases to convict that individual anymore of their sin and of their perilous end. The latter response is the response the psalmist warns against in the words of Psalm 97 in the verse 7 and 8. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. In order to explain what he means about the hardening of the heart, the psalmist takes an illustration from Israel's history, the wilderness wanderings of Israel prior to their entrance into the promised land. You'll remember how as a nation they were out there in the land of Egypt in captivity. They had been there for 400 years making bricks. They were oppressed. They were being beaten down. But God sent a Savior in the person of Moses to bring His people from out of under the heel of their oppressors. That process of deliverance involved the sending of 10 plagues into the land of Egypt, the final plague being the death of the firstborn. Now sent forth by Pharaoh, the children of Israel, they make their way to the Red Sea, where God performs the miracle of opening that expanse of water and allowing His children to pass safely over, but causing Pharaoh's armies to perish in those waters. These people that are mentioned here had witnessed miracles after miracle after miracle, but now they're found in the wilderness and they choose not to believe God in the face of overwhelming evidence. These unbelieving people provoke God and they harden their hearts to His voice. In Psalm 95, the psalmist is now warning the people of his day not to do as their forefathers had done in the day of Moses, but exhorted them that today if ye hear His voice, harden not your heart. Now the people of Paul's day were no different than the people in Moses' day and the people in the psalmist's day. And so Paul, he now comes and he uses those same words, repeating them 3 times in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 3 in the verse 7 and 8, we read the words again. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Verse 15, while it is said today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. And then over there in the chapter number 4 and the verse number 7, the third time again, He limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. The longer that I preach, I come more and more to appreciate the people to whom I preach to are no different from the people of Moses' day, the people of the psalmist's day, the people of Paul's day, because today men and women are still prone to do what they did in the wilderness. Sinners are still susceptible to hardening their hearts as they hear the gospel message. Thus the challenge goes out to you tonight. Challenge goes out to you, my unsaved friend in this meeting, that today if ye hear His voice, harden not your heart. I believe in these words, we have a wrong response to the gospel. A wrong response to the gospel. And that's what I want us to consider in the closing moments that remain to us of this meeting. I take the words of Psalm 95, 7 and 8 as our text for tonight. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart. From our text, I want you to notice with me, first of all, a voice that is to be regarded. A voice that is to be regarded. Mark the words at the end of the verse 7. Today, if ye will hear His voice. Now we need to identify of whom is being spoken of here. Well, I believe the surrounding details within the verses before us answer whose voice is being spoken of here. That personal pronoun, his voice, it refers us back to the one already mentioned in verse 6 and in verse 7. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. He is again identified, for He is our God in verse number 7. And we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. This is none other than the voice of Jehovah, the unchanging, unchangeable God, the independent, self-sufficient One, the eternal God of glory. This is the voice of Jehovah God. It is His voice that is to be regarded. Now, it amazes me that men and women, young people, they listen to, they take notice of, they pay countenance to, they pay attention to the voices of many different people in their lives. A child will regard the voice of a parent. A pupil will regard the voice of a headmaster or a headmistress. An employer will regard the voice of an employee will regard the voice of an employer. A businessman will regard the voice of a financial advisor. A criminal will regard the voice of a judge. A football player will regard the voice of a football manager. A citizen will regard the voice of a sovereign. A patient will regard the voice of a doctor. And yet, when it comes to the voice of God, when it comes to the voice of Jehovah, when it comes to the voice of their Creator, sinners take little, if any, notice of His speaking voice. Maybe, sinner, that has been your response as God has spoken into your life. You have taken little, if any, notice of His speaking voice. But let me put it to you. If it be the voice of God that speaks to you, does it not therefore demand your deep attention? Does it not therefore demand your prompt attention and response? Does it not therefore demand your complete obedience? Think of it. Shall the very God of heaven speak into your soul and you refuse to listen to it? Such a response from you to God's voice, can I say, is contemptible. It is despicable. And it is wholly unwarranted. Let me repeat that. To not respond to God's voice, to not listen to God's voice, it is contemptible, it is despicable, and it is wholly unwarranted on your part to silence the voice of Almighty God. Now, you may protest in this house tonight, and you may say, I've never heard the audible voice of God. And that is true. God no longer speaks to us as He did to Moses on Mount Sinai or Saul there on the Damascus Road in an audible manner. And yet God's speaking voice can be heard by other ways and through other channels. Can I say, first of all, I believe that the voice of God can be heard in creation. Psalm 19, you're in the book of Psalms, Psalm 19, the verses 1 to 3. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Note the terms: declare, uttereth, speech, language, voice. They carry the thought of one that is speaking. Can I say that creation has a voice? A voice that speaks to sinners? Think about it. I think about the voice of a 24-hour day. You see, at the close of every day, there comes what? Night. And every day we're reminded that life's little day for us all will end in night. For some of you, it will end in the night of darkness, a night of peril, a night of being lost in a Christless eternity and be ushered in out into the darkness of blackness forever in God's hell. Every day, sinners are taught the truth that day will be followed by night. The voice of a 24-hour day. Yes, the night of eternity is going to break on us all. Where will you be? When life's little day has ebbed out, where will you be in God's great eternity? Where will you be in the night of God's eternity? The voice of a 24-hour day. What about the voice of the four seasons? The sowing of spring reminds the sinner that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The long days of summer reminds the sinner that they are to improve upon the time and upon the opportunities afforded to them to seek after the Savior. Those autumn days, the falling of the leaf, it reminds us that life's thread is but slender, and soon will all decay as the leaf. And the cold blast of winter reminds us of death's chilling blast will quickly sweep over our souls and will be out into God's eternity. The four seasons, they've got a voice. Have you heard the voice of summer, spring, autumn, winter? What season are you in tonight? For some, I fear that you're nearing the winter of life, and that the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and you're still not saved. Another year is about to close, just 3-4 more Sunday evenings in the gospel. And tonight you're still not saved. You go out into God's eternity. The voice of creation. Can I say in the third place with regard to the voice in creation, that voice is heard in the life cycle of the natural world. Let me explain. Whether it's plants, whether it's birds, whether it's mammals, whether it's human beings, there are three stages in the human's life cycle or in the life cycle of any living thing. There is birth. There is life, and there is death. Pick anything that's living. There's a stage where it's brought to life, a seed, it germinates, life comes forth. It grows, it has its day, it has its lifetime. And then eventually it's cut down. Think of the bird in the air, born, hatched, and brought to life. Flies around for maybe years, and then eventually something causes it to die. Think of a tree that maybe for hundreds of years it finds its growth in a little seed, and it grows and it grows, and then someday someone comes along and fells the tree, and it's gone. The life cycle of every living thing has three main parts to it: birth, life, and death. But for human beings there is a fourth part of life cycle. Resurrection. Resurrection. There is life, there is birth, there is life, there is death, and then there is resurrection. Yes, you may die, and I may die. Save the Savior's return, we will all die. We'll all pass that way. But on that great and final day when Christ comes, there will be resurrection. And some will be raised to everlasting life, and others will be raised to everlasting damnation. Now, how will you be raised on that day? Well, it's coming. Resurrection. The voice in creation. As you look upon the decay of a flower, as you look upon the death of an animal, as you see the felling of a tree, as you look upon a passing hearse, I wonder, do you hear the voice? Today, today, if ye hear my voice, harden not your heart. I wonder, as you look upon such things, are you aware that in the life cycle, there are only two events that are ahead of you: death and resurrection. You're in life, and so death and resurrection await. Have you prepared? Are you prepared to meet the Savior? God's voice can not only be heard in creation, His voice can be heard in the providential events of life. You see, all events in this world and in this life, they're ordered by God. God can use them to speak to a person about eternal things. Let me give you some real life testimonies that I personally know of. I'm sure you'll know of some of them, of whom we'll mention, that prove that God uses the unexpected, even tragic events of life to speak to the unconverted. God would speak through the death of a baby son. Bring Phyllis Arnold back to God and bring her husband Hartford to Christ. Some Party in Heaven, that's the name of the book I believe that they wrote. They saw two of their children taken to God's eternity. It took that to bring that backslidden woman back. It took that to bring Hartford to Jesus Christ. God would speak through the near-death experience of a drug overdose to a young man in Banbridge by the name of Ryan Graham. And it would use that to bring that young man to personal faith in Jesus Christ. God would speak through a time of imprisonment in the Mays prison to Thomas Martin and use it to bring him into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. God would speak through a tsunami in the Indian Ocean to bring Craig Dennison and use it to draw him to the Savior and eventually make him a preacher of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The providential events of life can be used by God to speak to your soul. Let me ask you, have you missed? Have you missed what God has been trying to say to you? As he's tried to speak to you in days of sickness and sorrow and loss. I was speaking to a man recently in hospital and I said that pain is God's megaphone. Pain is God's megaphone. Sometimes God has to bring you into straits to bring you to your senses and bring you eventually to the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider, my friend, those events in life that God has attempted to speak to you through. Those motorbike, and those farming accidents, those motor vehicle accidents, that sporting injury, that relationship breakup, that health scare, that near miss, and yet, sinner, you continue to heedlessly live in your unrepentant state. God has spoken in the providential events of life. Yea, God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. Listen, sinner, to his voice. Listen to his voice. God's voice is most clearly heard in the third channel and through a third channel, and that is in the Word of God. The Bible is God's voice to man. It is through the reading and the preaching of God's Word that the speaking voice of God can be discerned. It is that still small voice, that tender voice, that appealing voice, that wooing voice, that voice that makes the sinner feel uncomfortable, uneasy, causing the sinner to become troubled and anxious in the depths of their very soul as the Word of God is being preached, as sin is being highlighted and brought before the minds of a congregation. It is the voice of God through the preaching of the Word. It was the reformer John Calvin who said, every time the gospel is preached, it is as if God himself came in person solemnly to summons us. Think of that. Every time the word and the gospel is preached, he said, it's as if God in person came and solemnly summons you to Jesus Christ. Imagine that. Tonight I am an ambassador for Christ. Paul would say, with regard to that, I pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Do you know what Paul was saying? He was saying as if Jesus Christ was in this place, he would say the same thing. Be ye reconciled to God. I'm doing it in Christ's stead. In Christ's stead. Tonight I pray that the voice of God is speaking. Tonight I pray that God is taking his word. He's applying it to your soul. Wonder, do you sense, do you feel his calling? Calling you out of your sin. Calling you on to himself. If not, listen. If God is not speaking, If God is not communicating with your soul tonight, let that non-speaking voice of God trouble you even more deeply. Let it trouble you to the very core of your being. Because as you think of that, God's silent to me. As you think and consider that very thought, ask yourself the question, has He nothing more to say to you? Has He nothing more to say? Has He spoken and you have refused? And has He spoken again and have you refused again? And maybe He has nothing more to say to you, just like Herod. Herod cut off the head of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was God's voice to Herod. Jesus Christ stood before Herod and He said nothing to him. He said nothing. Even Jesus Christ could not convince Herod to get out of his sin. Ask yourself this question. God's not speaking to me? I often think of the ungodly and they think that this is a great thing. I come to gospel meetings, I don't hear God's voice. It's as nearly as if they're glad that it doesn't happen. I tell you, sinner, tremble, tremble. Because tonight, if God's not speaking, could it be that your day of grace is over? Could it be? Could it be that you have sealed your eternal fate for hell's doom and despair? You see, the fact of God not speaking to you, the fact that the Word of God is no longer making any impression upon your heart and mind should be even more terrifying. Should be even more terrifying than if He is speaking to you. May God use either His speaking voice or His silent voice to bring you to Himself tonight. A voice to be regarded. There is a second truth that I find in the words of our text, namely a time that is to be redeemed. A time that is to be redeemed. That time is today. Today, if ye will hear His voice. How often does the Spirit of God and the Word of God impress upon the mind and the heart of its reader the need to improve upon the present moment of time. The present moment of time with regard to God's salvation. Tomorrow is promised to none of us. See, tonight, sinner, you have only today. You have only today to be saved. You have only today to repent. You have only today to prepare for the great eternity. Only today to close in with Jesus Christ. Only today to be reconciled to God. Only today to have your sins pardoned. Only today to be united to Christ. Only today to be made sure of God's salvation. Just today. Just today. There are some reasons why God exhorts you to redeem these moments and seek Christ today. In the first place, He says to seek Him for salvation today because, firstly, all things are now ready. All things are now ready. In the gospel, God is made through the work of His own dear Son, Jesus Christ. He has made ready all that the sinner needs to be saved from their sin. In respect of salvation, to coin a phrase, there is nothing that the sinner can bring to the table. We've often heard that statement, we can bring nothing to the table, or they brought something to the table. Something as if they add something to whatever is being talked about, but there is nothing as a sinner that I can bring to the table with respect to God's salvation. Jesus Christ has done it all. He's done everything that is needed. He's done everything that is required to lift a sinner out of sin's depths and bring them into the family of God. He's done it all. and his resurrection from the dead proves that to be so. And therefore the gospel invitation comes to you. Come. Come. For all things are now ready. Everything's ready. The gospel banquet has been prepared. Nothing that I can do. Nothing that I need to do. Jesus Christ has done it all. And so today, because all things are now ready, God says today for a second reason, because you will never have a more suitable season than today. Because you will never have a more suitable season than today. If you're not a Christian in this meeting, I address you. The longer you put off God's salvation, the harder it will be for you. See, sin will become more entrenched into your life, and Satan, he will be sure to furnish you with many more excuses why to delay your coming to Jesus Christ. Not only that, but every time you reject the Savior, you add another sin to your already mounting sin account. Because rejection of Jesus Christ is a sin. And therefore, I would say to you that the wisest move for you to make tonight is to seize this opportunity and come without delay. Behold, now is accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. There's no more suitable season than today. No better time than today. There is a third reason why Christ would call you today, and it is this, unsaved friend, because you have delayed long enough. You have delayed long enough. Can I ask you the question, how long do you intend to linger on in your sin? Many years have you not already wasted in the trivial pursuit of earth's passing pleasure and sin? How many more times will you resolve to settle the matter of salvation, but not just today? One preacher said this. He said, "You have delayed long enough." Ah, he said, "Too long." He said, "Too long." He said, "You should have heard his voice long ago. You should have heard his voice in the days of your youth. You should have heard his voice in the early childhood. You should have heard his voice the very first time he spoke to you. You should have heard his voice and the advantages which you enjoyed in parental instruction in the Sabbath school under a faithful ministry. You should have heard his voice. You should have heard his voice by now." And I say, you've delayed long enough. You've waited long enough. Come to the Savior without a moment's hesitation. There is a fourth reason why God says today. It is because certain events may overtake you. Certain events may overtake you. We've mentioned them before. We remind you of them again. The first event that may overtake you is the cessation of the Spirit's striving. That event in your life may overtake you. It may overtake you so that it will seal your destiny, God's eternity. Genesis 6:3. And the Lord said, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man." We can only but then deduce from those words that there comes a time when God's Spirit does cease in speaking and striving with sinners. I wonder tonight, will it be the last night that you feel his striving? I wonder, will tonight be the last night that you'll sense your need of Christ? It's very possible. Therefore, you need to redeem the time presently where you sit You need to lift your heart to God and ask God to save you just now, just now. Because the event of the cessation of the Spirit's striving may overtake you. Secondly, the cutting off by death. Genesis 27, verse 2, Isaac, he stated a truth that is true of every human being. He said this, he says, I know not the day of my death. The limits of our time on earth are known only to God. He knows the time and he knows the circumstances that will see the termination of our life here on earth. Now, it may be true, and it is true, that none of us can change when we die, but we can change how we die. We cannot change when we die, but we can change how we die. What I mean by that is that you can die out of Christ, or you can die in Christ. And it all hinges on your acceptance or your rejection of the Spirit of God speaking to you in the gospel. The hymn writer wrote, Time is swiftly gliding by. Death and judgment draweth nigh. To the arms of Jesus fly, be in time. Oh, I pray you count the cost ere the fatal line be crossed, and your soul in hell be lost. Be in time. You must come to Christ, because a third event may overtake you, the coming again of Jesus Christ. The signs of the time, they point to the imminent return of Jesus Christ. The events in Matthew chapter 24, a chapter that presents to us the events that will precede the coming of Jesus Christ, it reads like yesterday's newspaper. Matthew 24 reads like yesterday's newspaper. Jesus Christ said, therefore, be ye also ready. From such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. I wonder, are you ready? Are you ready to meet the returning Christ? He's coming. If the eastern skies were to be rent asunder this evening, the Son of God returned in glory to the skies, I wonder, will you be among those that will rise to meet him in the air, or will you be left behind? Think of it. Left behind. In the words of the hymn writer, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, will you be there? Will you be there? Today is a time to be redeemed. We have considered from our text a voice that is to be regarded. We have thought about a time that is to be redeemed. In closing and briefly, I want you to finally see a response that is to be rejected. The psalmist speaks of a fatal response that can be made by the sinner when they hear the voice of God, and such a response is to be rejected. The psalmist said, today if ye will hear his voice, here's the response, harden not your heart. Now, folks, by nature, our sinful hearts, they are already hard. But the verse before us suggests that the sinner has a part in the hardening of their own heart. In response to the speaking voice of God, harden not your heart. Your heart. Such a response was the response of Pharaoh. When God spoke to him through his servants Moses and Aaron, you can read about that in the early chapters of Exodus. We'll not go there tonight, but you'll find that whenever Aaron and Moses went in to speak to Pharaoh, He initially hardened his heart against God. He refused to yield to the demands of Jehovah. But things changed within that whole movement and that whole encounter with Moses and Aaron and Pharaoh, because whilst he initially hardened his heart against the Lord, we read as the process goes on, and as the plagues continue to come, it tells us within the record of Scripture that the Lord hardened his heart. Initially, Pharaoh hardened his heart, but it eventually came to the stage that the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. First of all, there was the natural hardening of the heart, but this hardening by God, it was a judicial hardening, a hardening that couldn't be reversed. A hardening that could not be reversed. I trust, sinner, that you're aware that every time that you reject the gospel, and every time you leave meetings like this, and every time you reject the Christ, I trust that you're aware that you're hardening your heart. You're hardening your heart. The danger is that there may come a time, and there may come a meeting, where no longer you harden your heart, but it will come the time when God hardens your heart. You would do well to take to heart words of warning that we read in Proverbs 28 and the verse 14. I read it to you. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. What mischief? What evil? What affliction? What calamity? What distress? What grief? What misery? What sorrow? What trouble? The sinner who hardens their heart will fall into. It's unimaginable. Misery. The Bible says it. Harden your heart tonight, and you will fall into mischief. Misery. Therefore, I would counsel you, while the gospel is making an impression upon your soul, sinner, while your heart is tender, while it is soft to the things of God, while you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Maybe you would say, preacher, my heart is hard. I can come into a preaching house like this. I can sit in meetings and I can sit unaffected. Preacher, my heart is hard. But preacher, is there any way that my heart can be softened? Yes. A visit to Calvary. A visit to the cross of Jesus Christ. No better place can that hardened heart be softened than at the foot of the old rugged cross. And there, by faith, see from his head, his hands, his feet. Sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet or thorns compose so rich a crown? Let the cross, let the bleeding sacrifice, let the crucified lamb melt your heart tonight. Let your heart be softened. Let a view of Christ crucified melt you tonight. Let Calvary's cross, crimsoned with the blood of incarnate deity, let such a view, let it soften your hard sinner tonight. Rather than reject such a demonstration of love, receive it. Receive it. Receive it as true that all this he did for you. Sinner, today, if ye will hear his voice, will you allow him? Will you allow him tonight to speak to you? Will you hear his voice? It's a voice that calls you out of your sin. And a voice that says, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Harden not your heart. Don't do it. Don't do it. May his voice be heard in your soul tonight. Maybe you be drawn to the Christ of God. May God save you. Let's pray. I wonder, has this message been for you? Only you can answer that. God has given me this message for you. I feel it. I feel it's for you. Now, what are you going to do with the voice of God heard in the preaching? What are you going to do? Could I encourage you to gladly yield to Christ? Can I say that if I can help you, I'm at the doorway? And all that you need to do is you need to make your need known. And I would love to speak to you after all have left. I'd love to point you to the Christ of God. But more than that, can I say that all you need is Jesus Christ? I can't save you. This is between you and God. And he'll hear the heart cry. If all you utter is, God, save me. And if that comes from the depths of your soul, God will save. Because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon him. Make your need known to us at the door if we can help you. May God speak into your soul tonight. And when he does, sinner, harden not your heart. Backslider, the same goes for you. Harden not your heart. Our Father in heaven, we leave this meeting in thy care. We hand it into the nail-scarred hands of our blessed Savior. We pray that thou wilt take thy word and apply it where thou dost see the need. Pray, O God, that thou wilt cause men and women to yield to the voice of God. Let them not harden their hearts. Let them not walk out of this meeting house tonight without receiving Christ, even where they presently sit just now. Lord, answer prayer and cause our hearts to be solemnized. Even as we consider the truths that we've been considering tonight, answer our petitions and take us to our homes in safety. For we pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen and amen. Thank you.